Hey there, welcome back to She Speaks Live. I'm so excited you are here listening to this episode today. I have to say, you guys, keep that feedback coming. It's so encouraging to see how much you guys are enjoying my published journal called Serenity, Calm Your Soul and Strengthen Your Spirit in Your Quiet Times with the Lord. It is such a huge blessing to hear from you. And for those of you who are wondering, what is she even talking about? The Serenity Journal is a personalized scripture journal where you write your name within the verse, bringing this close personal directive to take heed of the truth in your life. It includes 5 topics to choose from, with 2 weeks of scripture for each one for whatever season you are in, such as contentment, confidence, loneliness, hope, and peace. In addition, our journal prompts and an activation prayer to release your faith for what you are relying on God to do in and through your life. It makes a great gift for any occasion, especially we are in the Christmas season of buying gifts, but hurry because time is running out for shipment to be delivered on time to you for Christmas. So I do still have a sale for you that is 15% off plus free shipping, to get one for any of your loved ones in your life. Go to jamieelizabeth.com and make sure you use the code VIP15 at checkout, and feel free to share your journal on Instagram, letting your friends know about the serenity we can obtain through God's word, and keep letting me know. I'll share your stories as well, and it's such a blessing to see it. Okay, today I sit down with author Elisa Morgan. Elisa wrote a book called Christmas Changes Everything, and she has an awesome podcast called God Hears Her. In this episode, Elisa talks about how Jesus's birth changed everything for every character in the Christmas story. Elisa's insights as to how these stories of the people in the Bible, such as Elizabeth, Mary, Zechariah, Simon, the shepherds, Anna, and the Magi, can teach us as we say yes to God, to believe in Him with this abundant joy and hope. It's such a fabulous listen as we are getting nearer to the day that we celebrate the birth of our sweet Savior, Jesus Christ. So Merry Christmas, you guys, and I hope yours is filled with His love, joy, and peace this season and every season to come. Now here's my guest, Elisa Morgan. Hello, Elisa. Welcome to She Speaks Life. I'm so excited you're here with us today.
Always good to talk with our friends, isn't it?
It is, yes. And especially at this time, we're approaching Christmas and we have decorations going on and we've got the Christmas story going on. And this is just the right timing to talk about the miracle of Jesus' birth and just the characters involved in that. And you wrote a book called Christmas Changes Everything, which I absolutely love that title. So before we dive into more of that, I would love for you to share, what is a life verse of yours or just a favorite scripture verse that is your go-to and why?
I love John 15:16, and it is, I have chosen you to bear fruit that will last. And God used that in my life when He was calling me into a leadership role with MOPS International, now called the MOMCO. And I just thought, Shazam, you know, me, how could you possibly use me as just a normal lady, you know? And that was a profound moment when I realized that our real legacy is contributing into the lives of others who become kingdom followers as well. So yeah, that's why. And I've clung to that for years and years and years.
That's a good one. So true. I would love for us to just get right into your book and just the different characters that you shared these examples. And it was just so good. I've been reading it on my Kindle and it's just been filling me up and get me in the spirit of Christmas and what its true meaning is. And so where would you like to start with that? What are some characters in the story that you want to share.
Sure. I want to dive right in, but I think I just want to pause for a second and say the reason I titled the book Christmas Changes Everything is that, you know, Christmas is everywhere. We're immersed in Christmas in the U.S. especially, but worldwide. We're immersed in the holiday, the presents, the Santa Claus, the family, the magical moments, the memories of our childhood, the festivities, the decorations, everything you just described. But for all of us, for each one of us, I think it's really helpful to put our finger on when does Christmas really become Christmas to us? When does it become more than the family gathering together or the carolers or the choirs or the stockings or whatever? When does it become really what it is, the birth of Christ, the birth of hope in our hearts? And when Christmas truly becomes Christmas, that's when it changes everything. So, you know, I just want to encourage us as we're listening here and thinking about these original Christmas characters, let's do that work inside ourselves. When did Christmas become really Christmas to me? And let's resurrect that, you know, because it's not just a day, it's an ongoing experience of a relationship. So I like to start with Mary, because that's really where the announcement came from, right? You know, Mary was just a very young girl, 11, 12 years old, betrothed, which meant engaged, but not yet married and not in a sexual relationship with Joseph. She probably still lived with her own family. They were an agrarian or agricultural, if you will, family, not really wealthy. She had loved God all her life, been raised in the faith of the Old Testament God, Yahweh. She loved him dearly. And when the angel comes to her and announces, you are going to be with child by the Holy Spirit, Mary's response is stunning to me. It's just so shocking because she doesn't say, impossible.
I know, like many of us probably would.
Yeah, totally. She instead says, how is this going to happen? And so there's a great curiosity. Scripture tells us she's troubled in her spirit, but it's not like this doubt. It's this curiosity of, wow, just wow. Yeah. And Mary says yes to God. You know, for each one of the characters, I picked a word that describes their response to Christmas. And Mary's is the word accept. You know, she said yes to God. She says yes when the angel comes to her. She says yes when she goes and visits Elizabeth, her cousin. And she says yes repeatedly as Jesus grows. And I've thought a lot about that for me too, Jamie, is that Mary's yes seems crazy to us. How could she do that? I mean, she was going to expose herself to the shame of her culture. That would really diss teen pregnancy. She would expose herself to the surprise and shock of her fiance, Joseph, and potentially disappointing him. But she also would expose herself to the stunning devastation of her own son's death on a cross. And I think we find the secret to her yes when we dig down in the first couple of chapters of the book of Luke, because Luke tells us twice the same thing. One is after the shepherds come, and the other is after Jesus is about 12 years old and they can't find him when they're returning from the temple. And he tells us that she treasured these things. She pondered them and treasured them in his heart, in her heart. And that word really means to bundle up, to place together, almost like the word dialogue, to layer, if you will, layering yeses. And I think for Mary, Christmas changed everything when she said one yes after another, just continually accepting God's call in her life. And that made me pause and think, how has God invited me into his kingdom work and into what his plans are in our world? And will I say yes and continue to say yes? And how will Christmas, the birth of Christ, the reality of Christ, change me when I do? So that's a lot. That's what gets us started right there.
Yeah, no, I love it. Because as I was reading, I think this is just how the Holy Spirit works. He's speaking uniquely to each person's heart. And for me, having her yes and not completely understanding it, or, you know, it's like, how can this be? I look at all my yeses in the past and they were, well, okay, yes, I'll podcast, Lord, but I've never podcast before. I've never done this before. I don't even know where to start. I don't even know what stuff I need to buy for it. In fact, I've always been terrified to speak. Like, this is a fear that I'm facing, you know? And so it's always these impossibles going on in our head. The same thing moving from Southern California to Austin, my yes, and we were totally broke. We didn't have a job at the time, but God wanted to transition us out of California to Austin, but it was the same thing. It's not like we had it all planned out. Oh, we have finances to move us. Oh, we've got a job waiting for us in Austin. No, it was just purely out of faith and just facing the, how is this going to happen? You know? And I think that often when God speaks to us, those yeses are going to follow with those unknowns, uncertainties, because he solely wants us to rely on him, his power, and see his glory be manifested in the details.
So true, Jamie. And, you know, we can kind of separate Mary out and think, well, you know, she was the mother of God, and so she had this special ability to say yes. Well, you know, she was a human. She was just a regular mom.
Right.
And I think she probably said yes while saying
and
how.
12 probably, right? 12 years old probably? Like,
oh yeah, 12 years old probably. Exactly. Yeah. So I think she probably said yes while saying, how is this going to happen? And yes while saying, what are you doing? And yes, saying, how, why me? You know, and that's often how we say it. I mean, if you think about my first yes to God was when I was around 16. And I remember asking him to be in my life. And that yes led to another yes to eventually go to seminary, and then to another yes to try my voice at speaking the way you're describing, Jamie. You know, and sometimes our yes, like to becoming a mom, means, oh, okay, I'm also going to be saying yes to my children's choices, which might be different from my choices. Or yes to loving my brother has meant yes to becoming his caregiver in the latter years of his life. You know, just on and on. Yeah. We don't always understand. What we do know is that we serve a good God who has our good in mind and really is pledged to benefit us from that relationship, and we can trust his character as we nod in acceptance.
Yeah, so good. And I feel like it's kind of contagious too. As soon as we start saying yes to that and seeing how God, you know, he just is waiting for us to take that action step and say yes. And then he shows us another thing and we say yes. And then he reveals and shows. And so I just love that, you know, it's just a almost like a domino effect. It's contagious, you know. If we're stepping out in that first yes, then I think it kind of, you know, it's like, okay, I saw him there. He's faithful in that. Therefore, he'll be faithful in this next step too. So
that's so good.
I love what you talked about with Joseph. Can we talk about Joseph a little bit? Because I have something to add to this.
Oh, good. I want to
hear relate to Joseph.
How it connects for you. So Joseph was probably a little older than Mary, typically 7 to 10 years older, and he would be on his own. He would probably be, I mean, with his parents too, but he would probably be a tradesman. We know him through tradition as a carpenter. But what we do know is that Joseph has a really stunning experience too, where he has a dream that marries with child, and he knows he's not the father. And so Joseph goes immediately from being betrothed, looking forward to his marriage, to his virgin, to his treasured, almost imagine the, you know, the perfect wedding, the perfect life, the perfect everything. And it's like, as Joseph receives this word, it's like all of his dreams break.
Yeah.
And Joseph goes, as Christmas changes him, he goes from being this grieving carpenter to a husband of Mary, who's with child, not his, and eventually the stepfather of Jesus. And I just think he represents such a beautiful yielding. On the surface, it looks like God's got it all wrong. Mm-hmm. It looks like Joseph is going to lead the most loser life compared to what he had hoped for.
Right.
But what actually ends up happening as he moves through this shocking revelation that Mary is with child, that God reveals to Joseph the divine plan, and that Joseph mm-hmm. too has been invited into the Christmas story. And he yields his brokenness. He yields his reputation. He thinks mm-hmm. he's going to divorce Mary before he understands all of this, and he's going to give her honor so that she can lift her head in the community. That's the kind of man he was. He was mm-hmm. merciful. He was just. He was careful. He was tender. He loved her. And he was mm-hmm. like, shoot, if she made a mistake, I'm going to protect her, but I'm not going to go through with this because that's not the right thing. And then God reveals to him what the situation is. And yeah. He yields mm-hmm. his dream of what the perfect little happy life is going to look like to mm-hmm. what God wants to do. And, you know, tradition also shows that he didn't live a very long life. We don't know exactly when he passed or how, but we do know that Mary and Jesus and his brothers, you know, were without a father for her husband for a long time. And so we just see this man in Joseph who is kind of quiet in scripture and in the Christmas story. You don't see a whole lot about him. And yet God continues to reveal to him through dreams, you know, yeah. take this baby and go to Egypt because Herod's going to be after him, or go to the census and have Mary give birth there. Just continually providing Joseph mm-hmm. to provide mm-hmm. for Mary and Jesus by yielding.
Yeah. That's so good. And for me, reading that story, I look back at last year's Christmas and how it just mm-hmm. began with so much expectation. I did a episode every single day on an Advent. I used my friend's devotional, and cool. I just was fired up, wanted to share the gospel on the podcast every single day. And the shopping was done early. I mean, I just felt on top of it last Christmas. Oh, and
that's dangerous.
So dangerous now that I look back, right?
Yeah.
I'm mm-hmm. just like, oh, this is going to be a perfect Christmas. Just and then 2 days before Christmas, my son is putting some gifts in his car to take to a family member's house. And we in Austin sometimes have these ice storms, if you will, mm-hmm. and it doesn't last long, but this was really a layer of ice. We forgot to turn the sprinklers off. So it was thick. Otherwise, the ice would have been thin. But unfortunately, very thick ice on the sidewalk as he's putting in the presents in his car, and he slips, and he doesn't just, you know, do a little break. I mean, it was a dislocation, twist, and a complete snap off. I mean, it was bad. And, you know, I'm screaming in terror. His wife is screaming in terror. I mean, we're just like, oh my gosh. And I've been blessed to live this long with three kids that are now older without any breaks.
It's amazing.
And so this was the first one, and he was 22. And so took him to the ER, you know. And if anybody has gone through a break, you know that it's just like not one and done. It was, okay, we need surgery. We need to, you know, set that up. There's a bunch of pre-op stuff before surgery, and then, you know, waiting for the surgery, and he's completely immobile, right? So it was not a Christmas I expected. I was heartbroken. He was, you know, obviously not what he planned either, but I'm going, oh my gosh, what about my perfect Christmas? Mm-hmm. And then I get a little bit frustrated because I'm like, Lord, every day I was sharing your gospel and is what I'm getting at the end, right? And then on top of that, I get sick on Christmas Day. And I think just all the stress and just the disappointment and the letdown, I just got so sick. I had to go to bed and not be around my loved ones at Christmas and enjoy all that Christmas brings on Christmas Day. So I felt like Joseph, where you're that brokenness, where you're expecting your life, you know, dreams are dashed. You expect your life to go this way. You expect Christmas to go this way, and then it doesn't. But you know what? God is faithful. We don't know some of the reasons why things happen, but if anything, it drew me closer to him. And yeah, in my frustration, like, God, why didn't you protect? You start going through all those whys. But at the end of the day, you're going, what lesson do I need to learn here? And I think for me, it was too much of a doing for God and not just a being with him. And I think I was so tied up with, look at what I did, all this stuff, do. But really, God's just like, you know what? All that stuff that you think is a perfect Christmas, like, that's not the true meaning of Christmas. It's that's me. Right. It's Jesus Christ. That's the meaning.
And that's the deal. See, Christmas became Christmas to you in a whole different dimension, you know, as you yielded. And I guess that's why I love these characters, because they show us facets of Christmas. It's like they give us windows into the true meaning. You know, so Mary's journey is about saying yes and accepting God's call, and Joseph's is about yielding his way to God's way. And there's one other one, I mean, there's 10 characters, but one other one I want to touch on is Herod. And that's very surprising. People are like, why'd you put Herod in the book? Because he's a huge part of the Christmas story. And the word that I chose for Herod is learn, because he didn't. He did not learn. He had the opportunity for Christmas to change everything in his life, but he refused Christmas. He rejected Christmas. He maniacally tried to control Christmas, tried to usurp Christmas. You know, he was a schemer and he turned to a slayer, and he tried to, you know, he did kill all the little boys under 2 years old because he was so threatened by another king coming on this planet. And it grieves me, and, you know, not to be too dramatic, but, you know, isn't it real, you know, Jamie, that we can refuse Christmas in given seasons? We can reject the message of Christmas in given seasons. We can refuse to learn in given seasons. And what grief, you know, what a loss. And I don't want to be in that spot where I miss Christmas and I miss the redemptive power of the reality of the message of Jesus, because I'm set on me being king, if you will, you know.
So good. Is there anything else that you would love to share about Christmas Changes Everything before we end here?
Yeah, I think there's a couple of like takeaways or action points, if we could even call them that.
That'd be great.
The first one is, I'm struck by what's our word, you know, for Christmas, all of these words, and you know, pick one of these words. But when Jesus is welcoming little children to him and blessing them, and their nannies are bringing them and their parents are bringing them and religious leaders are bringing them to Jesus to be blessed, and the disciples are uncomfortable with this, Jesus says, whoever welcomes a little child welcomes me. And I think about, what are we doing to welcome Christmas each year? What are we doing to welcome Jesus into our celebrations, into our understandings, into our lives, into our broken dreams? You know, what are we doing to welcome? So that's a word I want to really leave with everyone, to thinking about how can you welcome Christmas this year? And then the second action point is to maybe intentionally pick up this little book, Christmas Changes Everything, and take two characters a week during Advent and immerse yourself in these characters, how they were changed, and ask God how he wants to change you this year. You know, who are you really identifying with? And how is God using that word that he used with them for you.
Yeah. So good. Thank you so much, Elisa, for coming on here and sharing this wonderful book. So where can people connect with you and find Christmas Changes Everything?
Just go to elisamorgan.com or on social. It's at Elisa Morgan Author. You can find Christmas Changes Everything anywhere, you know, pretty much anywhere online. Just take a look. Yeah.
Thank you so much. I love your wisdom that you imparted on us and just the encouragement and really get into the true meaning of Christmas. Thanks so much.
Merry Christmas.
Mwah. Merry Christmas. Thank you so much for listening today, and I trust that God has encouraged you through this story. Did you know this podcast is on YouTube? Hop on there and subscribe, and you can see a live recording of each episode. And for more information on this ministry and to access free downloads, please visit my website at jamieelizabeth.com. That's J-A-Y-M-E. Elizabeth.com. And let's connect beyond this podcast by going to my Instagram handle, Jamie Elizabeth, She Speaks Life, or Facebook. Until next time, my friend, I hope God reveals himself through your own life story.